Today on the Soda Pod, we're jumping into the hoppy hour, an exciting hoppy hour because, well, we didn't get to do on the last episode because of our great talk with Jesse Marshall. Go check that out. We're also going to talk Minnesota Wild, hockey news, NHL news and notes. We'll end off the show with a little Skull Vikings talk as well. All that and more on episode 210 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Ishidroma here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. It's so funny doing our intros now Hoppy. They're less detailed, like those first intros I do, you know, today on the Soda Pod, less detailed than when I started doing them. And now, like, I just throw shit out there and I gauge how much you like want to dive into it on the episode by like your reaction to those. You're like, oh yeah, nodding your head.
That's not smart because I'm like half paying attention every time you do that. So like, don't acknowledge something, it doesn't mean that I'm disinterested. It just means, okay, I'm disinterested in you previewing it.
Well, how are you, sir? I listened to the last podcast, MNCAA, episode 1 on the Soda Pod feed. That was a lot of fun, man. I heard some, you guys taking some jabs at me as well. That's okay.
That's how I find out if you actually listen or not, because then you say, oh, I heard this. But even better than that, because that's not what you initially said to me when you reached out. All of a sudden, it's just, dude, I can't deal with Nick calling you Scott. I was so confused, it hurt my brain.
That was the first comment. I was like, every time he said Scott, I was like, who? Oh yeah, Hoppy.
Oh man, yeah. I didn't even realize he did it until you said that. I'm like, oh, I mean,
it's your
yeah,
name,
maybe he
so.
Did okay
by yeah, the way Nick later. If I hear that again, you cut it is Hoppy.
Call me whatever you guys want,
but no, in man, all seriousness, I'm so doing... much fun.
Yeah, no, it was a great episode. We're excited to get more people involved in that, right? Because we are going to have representation, at least one person covering each team, a couple rotations that might be happening as well. And again, everyone will be able to tune in this coming Friday for the next rendition, right? I feel like this is going to be an evolving thing. It's going to be pretty different formats each week, just kind of seeing what fits for our different hosts. And obviously, as you guys have opinions on what is or isn't conducive to what you want to hear, just let us know. But guess what? Right now, I don't care because I'm sitting here as happy as can be with some delicious 7th Ave pizza. And I made my first attempt here at the broil, Isha, that everyone gets all hot and bothered about. So it looks pretty good to me. Funny thing is, half the pizza, like with my broil, turned out really good like this. The other half was like literally clean, like white cheese. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to showcase the good ones.
There you go. Hey,
that's user error. That's not a 7th Ave issue.
Look, man, that pizza looks so goddamn delicious. You know, I have just some god-awful Domino's again. It was a good deal. It was the worst pizza I've ever had in my life. I really don't think I will ever order from them again. I asked for green peppers on the pizza. There were a total of 3 slices of green pepper, 2 of which were on one piece. It's absolutely horrible. And I was telling Hoppy, I had one piece that was like literally 2 inches in size, like in width, and another one that was my whole hand size. Inconsistency, garbage cheese, garbage pizza. I have to try it in the States. Maybe I'll give it a second chance there. But in Canada, they clearly don't care.
And so one that was hand size and one that was a different size.
A different size. Yes, yes. Shout out our good friends at 7th Ave Pizza.
Biggest shout out for them, because we are working now on a joint segment moving forward. I promise you all, this is not going to be a repeat of other things you've heard. It's going to be very collaborative. We definitely are going to need audience participation in a sense. We'll just say we're bringing Matt and the boys from 7th Ave in, and it's going to be a lot of fun. More to come on that, but in a couple weeks here, we'll be dropping the first version of that.
Very, very excited. You know, we're collaborating with so many people now. The Soda Pod, it's just blew its doors open. So much content coming out here, and we'll talk more about that in the show as well. But let's get into the soda or the Hoppy Hour here on episode 210 of the Soda Pod. A reminder, you can hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. You can leave us a text or voicemail, 612-324-1684. We always want to hear what you're drinking. We tell you what we're drinking and talk about all these great beers. I mean, sometimes great beers, and I'll get into that note momentarily here too. But we're totally interactive here on the Soda Pod. The Hockey Podcast Network and the Soda Pod are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code TPPN for sign-up bonus and weekly deal. On the other side, like I said, we're diving into the Hoppy Hour here. Excited to drink some more beer with you, sir, here in episode 210 of the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right. Let's crack a cold one here, Hoppy. What do you got on tap?
Oh, it's already cracked, and I know I teased you a little bit with this before we jumped on, but one of my favorite beers that I've had, just because it's, again, a little different, and I'll admit this rendition of it is slightly sweeter than what I had before, but it's still delicious. Just, again, maybe not going to have as many of them in one setting kind of thing, which maybe not a bad thing. We have, interestingly enough, probably could tie this to Kaprizov somehow. We have Money Honey from Junkyard Brewing.
God, it's beautiful.
Just a delightful, delightful beer. Great can art, obviously. Very fitting for Junkyard. They usually don't miss on that front. But I mean, Isha, so it is peanut butter, honey, banana, lager.
Oh,
so it's not a stout. Not a stout. Like, here's the coloring of it, right? It wow. Works out very well. And again, a little sweeter than the first time around that I had it, but it's just, it's everything that I want in that, like, peanut butter, banana, honey stout that you might do, right? But it's just a lot cleaner, more basic, like, not something that's going to be, I don't know, just a lot of times when it's in a stout, it's like heavy.
It's rich. Like, it's really rich.
Rich. Yeah. And like, this is just nice, crisp, clean, only like a 5.2 percenter. So it's just a nice, clean drinker through and through. I love it. But again, I speak highly of Junkyard every time I have their shit. This is definitely one of the ones that, like, I saw it in the case and I'm like, I had no intention of buying this, but I'm buying it.
So mine, and again, shout out to my dear friend Shane. I accept your beer care packages to be featured on the Soda Pod, and I will give you a shout out. I appreciate them every time, my friend. But I hate pumpkin. And I mean, I like pumpkin. I like eating pumpkin squash style, like the pumpkin seeds. I just hate everything pumpkin flavored, be it the pumpkin spice lattes, the pumpkin spice, this, that, and the other, especially the beers. Love this brewery, Longwood Brewing. I talk about them all the time. Love their can art. Love everything to do with their tap room, their restaurant. They're awesome. And I love everything to do with Shane bringing me free beer. This one, I'm pretty sure I had last season, Hoppy. Actually, I'm positive I did. It is the Full Patch Pumpkin Ale, coming in at 9%. It's a strong sucker, this one. I don't really have much to say. I'm not a pumpkin fan. I know exactly what's going to hit me. Oh, it is ripe, baby. Let's go. It's so sweet. I was going to try just down it all in one sitting.
I saw that. I've never commented on this before, Isha, but you're a person that every time you open up a fresh beer and you take a sip, I feel like you're like barely tasting the beer. Like, it just like looks like the quickest, like littlest.
I'm on a podcast. I got to keep talking, you know? Yeah. I mean, this one, I will comment on it. All right. I'll give them some love and show Shane some love. Not a pumpkin spiced necessarily. Like, this ain't spicy compared to the How We Sound one I had a couple episodes ago. This one is very much like, you know, when you're carving a pumpkin, you just get that sweet aroma. That is literally like the taste of this, but with beer. And it's just, again, I don't like that mix and I never will. It's just, it's very sweet, very sweet.
We must have different pumpkins because I don't get a sweet aroma if I carve really? A pumpkin.
I do.
Maybe that Canadian says more, pumpkins, I get it.
Maybe that says more about me than the rest of you. I don't know. Anyways, for those who are about the pumpkin spiced or just like pumpkin flavored, whatever, you'll probably like this. It's kind of the same thing with me, Hoppy. Like watermelon and apple are two of my favorite things. I hate watermelon candies and I hate apple candies. I don't know why.
They don't taste like watermelon or apple.
and maybe that's the case with this because when you mix pumpkin and beer, it's something
like,
unique.
Have you ever had like real grapes and then also had a grape flavored candy or pop?
Yeah, but for some reason, grape flavor, like grape drink, is just where it's at. Like
that's fine, but I'm just saying they don't taste at all the same. Artificial flavoring tastes nothing like the actual fruit.
Yes, agreed, and I acknowledge that. But some, and I'm just saying that some artificial flavorings taste a whole hell of a lot better than, again, the ones that I particularly don't like in watermelon and apple. Banana, I hated those little banana puff things anyway, so I haven't tried those since I was like 12.
What a puff thing is.
I don't know, like marshmallow banana candies, again, I don't know. They're at 7, there's 7-Eleven here in Canada. We live in different worlds, I keep forgetting.
Extremely, extremely different worlds. I was the person that, like, when you got those, I think they were called Runtz candies, like, they, like, were actually the hard candy, but they were shaped like the fruit they were supposed to taste like.
Oh, yeah.
Banana one was, like, the best one.
And you guys, I think, have different a different name for rockets.
I don't know what a rocket is.
Than we do. Yeah, see, there we go. Anyways.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yo, hey, actually, come. I know we're getting close on Halloween, you know, shout out Longwood and the you know, the patch pumpkin ale here. We should actually do that. We'll take like a 5 minutes of a segment and just compare like Halloween candies and the different ones in Canada and the States, because I think that'll be a lot of fun.
It's interesting because I think a lot of the ones that I know are gonna cross borders, and you're gonna be the one that comes in with like sicko ones,
like the Mars bars and all that.
I know what a Mars bar is.
I know, but that's Canadian, right? It's not American.
Oh, I don't know.
My grandpa used to I think Mars or Aero, I forget which ones. Maybe both. He used to sneak them in the States for his too many into the States. He only could declare so many at that time, and he would bring in like boxes for his like grandkids in the States there. But anyways, before we get off this segment here, and wow, what a riveting one that was. Hoppy coming in hot with like what sounds like one of the world's best beers in the world, and then me just, you know, shitting on the poor pumpkin folk here.
Yes, so.
But you said you had one more note you wanted to talk about before we flipped the page and got into the wild weeds here.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I'm just going to be honest coming in, okay. And you're going to say that I'm exaggerating this, and I swear on my wife, on my dog, whatever, that there's zero exaggeration to this.
Yeah, because by the way, listeners, I was not prepped for this. Hoppy was just like, I got something for you. I'm going to hit you with it on the soda pod.
And this isn't like a super intricate, in-depth, detailed story, but basically I saw Bill Guerin's spirit animal in real life. I'm okay. Leaving my office to go out and get lunch, right? And at the crosswalk just beyond my office, there's this old guy walking his dog. And like, I think the stature of this dog is probably pretty relevant to really give you the full picture. So like, think like, it's not actually like one of the racing dogs, right? But think that kind of build, like a skinnier dog, maybe bigger in size. It's not, you know, quite a Great Dane, right? But it's decent sized dog, but very like skin and bones, like toned, whatever. And the poor thing is like hopping and hobbling, like its back legs aren't really walking because one of its testicles was legitimately swelled up to the size of a cantaloupe. But not exaggerating, like 100% that's the size it was. And the dog like couldn't walk, was like maneuvering around it. And at first I was like horrified and felt so bad for this dog, right? But immediately then my like brain pivots and thinks, holy shit, this is the Randy Marsh meme of him just big balls in the wheelbarrow that everyone was slapping Bill Guerin's face over. And I'm like, I'm seeing Bill Guerin reincarnated as a dog.
With those big balls.
Well, again, I think it was only one.
It's just one.
Like maybe the other one wasn't swelled. I don't know what it was. And I can't like prove that that's I don't know, it could have been some other weird growth, but it certainly looked, based on location and everything, that this was a unfortunately enlarged testicle of the dog.
That's I mean, that's an interesting way to have an epiphany, I'll tell you that much.
I have a lot of interesting epiphanies.
Speaking of cantaloupe, I'd be down to have a cantaloupe beer. I'd like to try that. Cantaloupe did not look good on that PETA ad, I'll say that much. Cantaloupe, not a very sexy fruit, but it's a good tasting fruit.
No, definitely not an arousing fruit.
Not at all.
What was the word that Justin chose?
I should have wrote it down.
That's okay. We can move past it.
You can clip it in if we use this clip. So there you go.
it was a great, great definition, though, for that type of fruit. But, I mean, I'd be okay with something that's cantaloupe, like a Kolsch or something that just gives like a little hint of it, maybe. But
or like a honeydew. I like honeydew melon, too.
That stupid goddamn Andy Milonakis show. All I can think of, like, because I only saw a couple episodes because my brother thought it was funny. Because my brother was into, like, the, like, dumbest form of humor, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all I can remember is there was one where
your brother and I are
like,
going to be good friends.
it's sitting on, like, the spinning record table, and it's, like, just going around slow, and it's a honeydew melon. It's honeydew melon. Honeydew melon. And then Milonakis, like, puts his hand on it and, like, shifts it a little bit. Ha, honeydew melon.
See, like that's the shit. That's the shit that just I cry. That humor just gets to me. It's amazing.
Oh man.
Well, we talked a little Billy Garen. We talked a little beer. I mean, it's time now to continue the hockey talk in this next segment here. You're listening to episode 210 of the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We have a few moose topics here, Hoppy. Not of the animal variety of the new alternate captain of the Minnesota Wild.
That's right. And we have to obviously give a quick shout out here to our friends at Bar Down Beauties as well as Soda Stick. Sounds like it's been done, folks. There's going to be a collab here. There's going to be a Filipino fan club shirt. And I imagine the majority of you are going to go out and purchase it. Why the hell wouldn't you? But moose topics, a lot of this actually kind of spurring up from the Michael Russo interview, Isha. And the first one that I'll pose to you is the one that I asked Russo to pose to him that, of course, didn't come up because I think he's featured a few too many of my questions in the past and probably learned his lesson quick that that's not a good idea.
Especially when he gets punked and doesn't even understand the form of the question. But anyways.
Right, right. But... Do you think there's any level of truth to the idea of him dissuading the signing of Nick Foligno because he wanted to make sure he had that alternate captaincy locked?
Ooh. I think maybe there's, I don't know if it's to get the alternate captaincy locked, but I think there may be a little truth to the fact that maybe he didn't want his brother, who has this aura of just being a captain. I mean, he was the captain for his respective team, being a leader, I should say, and rightfully so is that he's been so successful as a leader in the National Hockey League, and maybe didn't want to be overshadowed by Big Brother there. And, you know, maybe didn't necessarily want to play on the same team as him. Maybe they like competing. Maybe anyways, Marcus likes competing against his brother, and being in the NHL together is kind of, you know, good enough for them, sort of thing. I think there's some truth to that, because personally, I know not like high level athletes, but I know very competitive, brothers and sisters, a lot of them, you know, in sports and other things. And that is always the vibe I got. I don't know many of them other than, you know, at the highest level in Vancouver with the Sedins, who've dominated so well together, or who like
the highest level,
playing Christ. Together, the highest right. level. The highest fucking level. So yeah, that's my take on it. That's my answer.
Fair enough. Well, we can move past that then. The other two things that
we're
really
moving past it because I mentioned the Sedins, by the way.
It's the way you mentioned them, not the fact that you mentioned them. Oh man. So the other pieces that came up, one that like was interesting based on our last conversation here, Isha, with the risers and fallers on the roster, right?
Yeah.
Beckman trending up aggressively.
He's even looking since so that good. Time.
Yeah, he's looked great. And trending down has been Jordan Greenway. And Moose had nothing but great things to say about this kid coming in cocky, coming in hot, already feels like he belongs in the locker room and he loves the swagger and likes what he's seeing on the ice. And he's basically talking us through the fact that he's going to the coaching staff and saying, yeah, I'd rather have this kid on my line than Greenway. So it fits in perfect with what we said.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's crazy is if perhaps if Ryan Suter and Zach Parise were still here, would this kid have the confidence to display that much swagger and be that outgoing kind of stud that he is versus the captains, you know, the captain's group now in Matt Dumba, Spurgeon, and Foligno, who, let's be honest, that's a diverse group. And I love it. They all bring, you know, something a little different. We've always said the silent captain in Jared Spurgeon, who's like, you just have the utmost respect for, and if he speaks, you listen. Matt Dumba, who's, you know, more of the outgoing character, right? He's gonna wear his heart on his sleeve. And Marcus Foligno, who, like, if he's pissed, you're gonna fucking listen to Moose, right? The antlers come out, you ain't budging. You're listening. So I think it's just a great group, and maybe, just maybe, Beckman would not have the confidence to just be himself and like just play his game and not have any noise that, oh, okay, I have to act a certain way because of the precedent that Ryan Suter and Zach Parise left in this room. And that's no disrespect to those two, but I mean, Judd Zolgad talks about that all the time. Derek Felska too, eh, Hoppy?
Derek Felska.
Felska, sorry.
Agreed, yes.
Slurring a little bit tonight, okay?
No, you always call him Felska.
There's just some words. He knows I love him.
He does. He knows how we feel about him.
Foligno's another hard one for me, as you just saw there. I'm surprised you haven't called me out on that a few times.
But you can say Bonino. Why can't you say Foligno? It's literally the same thing. Just ignore the spelling.
The G fucks with my head.
But
anyways. Just
don't read it. Can you say sign?
Sign? Sanders. Can you say cider?
I can say cider.
Sorry, move on. Let's keep it.
Oh, I'm passing this one to you because I'm like so heated around this entire topic in general. God. So you lead in.
Well, Jack Eichel. We've talked
wow,
about this.
Wow, you really are like a radio and podcast whiz. That's incredible lead in.
Oh, incredible lead in.
Well, man, I mean, it's
you
just
throw
funny.
This to me. You throw this to me because you're so angry about it, and I'm like, okay, well. We're going to talk about Jack Eichel, folks.
Yeah, so you did nothing to help me there. I'm just more angry now. Eichel, I mean, it's just funny that the Minnesota Wild fan base continues to shit on him in general. Like, I know some people have started to turn and realize that it's like a really shitty situation over there, but there's a lot of people that are still saying like, oh, Jack's just got to take the surgery, they say, and see what happens. Like, fuck him. No, they can all go to hell. I do not like any of you. But the Eichel talk, when we were initially talking about trades and, you know, while being towards the top of the list, a lot of the discussion and banter was around like, oh, how bad of a leader he is, how like he's just not good in the locker room, right? Like, oh, him leaving Buffalo, like this is all his doing. And Foligno could not have been giving him a more glowing review than what he gave to Russo. Talked about what a great person he is, not just like, and again, talked quite a bit about his talent because it's undeniable, but like, of really course. Like, no, this is like a great leader. I loved being on his team. Great teammate. Like, fell just short of saying like, I'd love to play with him again. Never said it, but fell just short.
Well, did you see all the tweets that came out from Robin Leonard today about Jack Eichel and just everything that went on? Okay, sweet. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So Robin Leonard said that, you know, he actually tweeted a Buffalo News article that titled Jack Eichel's doctor, disc replacement surgery, better for him now and later in life. Robin Leonard tweets that article and comments saying, better to have pain for the rest of their lives. At least they will supply the pain meds. Same old shit. He continues to go off about his experience in Buffalo. First tells the fans, before I go off here, I know we had a mixed relationship, blah, 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 blah. Says they screwed my ankle big time, shows a picture of his ankle with the Buffalo Sabres. And then a picture of him actually literally zonked out of his mind off pain meds, and says big time, then surgery, then pills. No one cares. Almost died. But hey, after forcing meet a leg press after a few weeks after bad high ankle sprain first game, that foot after treatment, referring to the picture. Later is my soul gone after month after surgery picture. It's all pretty. And again, it's a picture of him just looking absolutely zonked. He keeps going off and off on Twitter and actually engaged with a lot of the fans there and talked about how, like, yeah, Buffalo's actually doctors and staff, they're really, they don't care. They don't care to the point where they care about the product long-term, whether that's long-term for the duration of their contract or just long-term for the rest of their lives. They want you back playing as soon as possible, and that's just kind of not okay. We can both agree on that. But anyways, Leonard, I know he's a polarizing figure. I know he's, you know, flamboyant in some of his takes, but it was interesting that he actually spoke up about this and actually was saying, you know, calling out other players and the NHLPA being like, why aren't you speaking out about this? This is wrong. This player should have the right to take the surgery he wants and not be forced out of town as a result of it.
And you know what? It's one of those things to you where, like, I'm not going to throw it all that direction, because I get why the franchise would want to have some say when they've invested this much money into this player for this long. Like, I'm not discounting that.
I agree.
I'm just saying, as a whole, like the way the NHLPA sees it, I understand why it was put in place that way. To your point, it's still wrong. Yeah. Especially in this scenario where, like, it's back and forth. We've reached a point now where the team can't trade him until something happens. They at least need to release his medical information, which they don't want to do, which clearly means it's bad enough that it's going to hurt his trade value even more. He is not going to do their surgery. They are not letting him do his. He's literally going to sit there and fucking rot. And, like, this is where there needs to be some kind of clause where the league can step in, right? Because there are some things where maybe, like, the team looks at a procedure that a player might want to do, right? And they're saying, like, no, there's literally, like, we have every reason to believe that this is the wrong thing to do and you're choosing to do it. I can see why they would, like, push back on that, right?
Yeah. But no,
with this, like, this is something where there should be, like, a neutral arbitrator, just like we do with contracts for people coming off an ELC, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's take both the facts, let's deliberate on this and determine whether the team is right or the player is right. And guess what? If it falls somewhere, like, in the gray area in the middle, I guess the player is fucking right then.
Yeah. How, I'm just going to throw this out there. This just dawned on me right now. And I get, and I'm going to preface it by saying, like, I get the Buffalo situation is way more dire at this time. But how fucking crazy is it that two generational players, both one Canadian, both one American, who came 1 and 2 in the same draft, are in both absolute garbage organizations right now? It's insane. And the NHL is in the prime. They're in the prime of their careers right now. The NHL should step in somehow, whether it's the NHLPA or the league itself, and just, like, put a stop to this madness. Because from a marketing point of view, it's they're wasting away. You know, Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin coming off, you know, two generational players where the NHL milked the shit out of promotion for them. You know, sure. Built hockey, grew the game on the backs of these two players, you know, with their time, with that era of them in their prime. Now having two players who arguably, if they were in a perfect scenario, could be more exciting. Not better, because both of them are, you know, different, but more exciting. And I think I can, Hoppy's nodding along with me. That's an argument to be made, because look at fucking McDavid. But again, before you dive in there, like, how the fuck is this happening? This is like Abed's darkest timeline from Community. 2011, when the Canucks lost, it went to the darkest timeline. But anyways.
He just stops. Okay.
You can hop in now.
No, I mean, for the Eichel thing, I totally get what you're saying. McDavid's a little different, right? Because first off, it's an incompetent franchise. It has been, and they continue to prove to be, regardless of
old boys club. Old boys club.
Right. I would argue, though, for the league, in a sense, having McDavid in Edmonton makes that historic market and the Canadian market much more viewable, right? People are tuning in. It's appointment television to watch there. And I don't care which team you put McDavid on, his regular season is going to largely be the same. He's going to put up somewhere between 100 and 130 points most years. So, like, as far as, like, the league gravitating towards his polarizing ability, tuning in to watch, and again, making that a more exciting market, even though they're not really cup contenders in my eyes, I don't think that's the worst thing for the NHL. Now, seeing him compete for a cup, yeah, that definitely helps. But I think the Jack Eichel one, being in a dead market, being with a team, and it's sad because it shouldn't be a dead market. They have such a great following and, like, really good hockey fans in Buffalo. but for whatever reason, they just can never get over the hump and they can never figure it out.
Well, there's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of shit going on. Having Jack Eichel on a real team competing is good business, right? Because Buffalo, no one's watching whether or not Eichel's there, is what it seems like from, you know, a national scope. So I think you're half right there, but I do get the crux of your point. Like, how can you get a generational talent like this and not improve the franchise? Saw with Pittsburgh and Washington.
Exactly. And that's why I prefaced it saying that, like, Edmonton's a little bit of a different animal there. Edmonton, though, I don't know if it's like if the States views them like this, but because of how bad they were for so long leading up to getting McDavid. And again, they're still not like in this division, they're one of the better teams, but they're still not a good team in the National Hockey League in my mind. They were such a joke in Canada. Like, even the Calgary Flames, who suffered, you know, from like 2008 to, you know, when Ginla left and then rebounded, whatever, they were less of a joke than the Edmonton Oilers. Like, they were a fucking joke, man. Like, people would laugh at people on the street who wore Edmonton, even if it was a Gretzky shirt, we would just still laugh at you and be like, you have no business showing off your fandom right now because this team's a fucking joke.
Now, here's the biggest point that kind of surfaced from what you just said there. Yeah, they're on paper one of the better teams in the Pacific. Surprised isn't what I'm looking for, but like, would you even be shocked if Edmonton finished fifth in that division? Like, would that be a shocking revelation to you? And you'd be like, I never saw this coming.
I'm used to it. I'm used to that team disappointing me.
So I think that's to support your point on the, like, we need to get him the hell out of here.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. We finished agreeing. Look at that.
I got to support your arguments if you can't.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Let's bring things back to Minnesota here and talk about a little Escobar Jr., your boy, Kalen Addison.
Yes, my boy, indeed. Anyone that didn't listen to the Jesse Marshall interview, go back and listen, because he paints a pretty good picture for the potential of what we have here in a Kalen Addison. Again, I'm not talking about this season, because likely he's not going to factor in a ton, and I'm totally fine with him going and tearing up the AHL. But coming out of an interview again, we hear that some of the guys call him Pablo, because he looks like Pablo Escobar with that mustache, with the hair look, all of it. And we've been pushing for a while here that he is, you know, he's mini version of Kenny Powers, right?
So which one is it?
I don't know. I like both. I'm not going to lie. Like, both of them have some appeal. I don't know. As I envision it and I think about, you know, having fun Kirk Cousins style, like slapping his face over people in clips, I just see him living the Kenny Powers lifestyle more than being like a drug kingpin.
Escobar had some humor to him from what I've researched, so I don't know. Put it this way, Jesse Marshall pushed back and said, well, he doesn't have a frame of Powers. Well, I'd argue, Jesse, that he doesn't have a frame of Escobar either, because, like, yeah, when Escobar was playing soccer, maybe. But for the most part, I mean, Escobar liked to smoke his weed and indulge, let's just say that. So,
And you know what? Maybe Kenny Powers didn't have that going when he was 20 years old, right?
No, he did. He did. There are clips of him, you know, starting out Rookie of the Year or whatever, and he still had that gut. So, which that show, by the way, Eastbound and Down, like, it takes some crazy turns. Like, I just got to season 4, and I'm like, this is not even close to the show that, you know, was in season 1. So, it's not everyone's flavor. I know Danny McBride's not everyone's flavor, but
whose flavor is he not?
I don't know, man. My sisters watched This Is the End, and they were not impressed with his performance.
That's
and I was like,
"That's a shitty movie."
I would argue, but
I've learned that you have really loose standards for movies. You have mostly, like, I am on board.
I'm actually offended because I used to be like such a good movie buff. Like, I used to be my thing in like the mid 2000s, and now I'm lacking apparently.
Just based on things we've talked about behind the scenes, we don't have to dive into it.
Hoppy has weird fucking standards too, though, folks. So, like, don't just take his word for that right away. But I mean, I'm perfectly happy to share some of these controversial picks that you probably want to highlight.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to turn this into a whole episode. We'll save that for when we don't have shit to talk about.
Yeah. But anyways, posing it to the fans here. I mean, mini Escobar or mini Powers? We want to hear from you. What say you? At the Soda Pod, hit us up. All right. Can I have a little bit of a soapbox here? Will you grant me 2 minutes? Is that cool? 2 minutes because I have to go off. I'm on the clock, Hoppy says. All right. It's happened, and it's honestly, I'm smiling. I'm smiling as a Vancouver Canucks fan, but I think this is league-wide news as two potential superstars, at least right now stars for the Vancouver Canucks, are signed. American-born Quinn Hughes and the Swede Elias Pettersson. Now, I'm going to talk about Hughes quickly. He's going to be on the Olympics for the United States, I imagine. He's a fucking stud. He's a water bug out there, one of the greatest skaters in the National Hockey League. And the Canucks have locked him up. Squashed those rumors of him going to New Jersey and playing with Jack and his other younger brother there. What the fuck is his younger brother's name? Luke? Luke Hughes? Anyways, 6 years, $7.85 million AAV. I am so happy with this deal because, let's be honest, at the start of free agency and the start of the offseason, the defensemen's contracts that were being dished out, both re-signed by their respected organizations and in free agency, were insane. Yeah, we're talking Seth Jones. We're talking $9, $10 million contracts.
Thanks, Darnell.
Yeah, and Darnell Nurse, holy shit. Again, no disrespect to Darnell Nurse, but you are not even close to a player who should have a cap hit like that. And nor did I think Hughes was at that level yet, too, with only 2 years under his belt in the National Hockey League. But coming in at 7.85, you know, it's three more years than a Rasmus Dahlin, who's on the bridge deal at a three-year deal at $6 million. And I think this is going to really be great for the Canucks down the road. I mean, Besser, they got to re-sign him next year too. Pettersson, he signed a three-year deal at under $8 million, where it was originally reported at $7.35. And I know Minnesota Wild fans are actually coming back to me because I tweeted out, like, thank God the Canucks didn't use Kirill Kaprizov as, you know, as a comp here and, you know, went with a more digestible deal. And they're like, oh, well, it's 3 years. You're going to lose him right after. A, shut the fuck up. He's an RFA in 3 years. And B, look, if he becomes, if his ceiling is a 70-point player, then the increase in dollars with inflation, well, could then we pay him $8 million there for his services and he's still a top center. And if he blows our expectations out of the water and becomes a 100-point player in the National Hockey League, pay him $14 million. I don't give a fuck. You need those superstars. So I'm happy with these deals personally. I know it's a little bit of news in the USA because Hughes is going to be a bona fide Team USA star for the next few years. Hoppy, you don't have to comment too much on this, but... what do you think about these deals?
Well, first and foremost, you kept on bringing up how Hughes is going to play for Team USA, and it just brought me back to my sadness that the incompetence and bullshit of Kevin Adams means that the number one American center will not be playing for Team USA in the Olympics, so that sucks.
But yeah, sorry to remind you all that Jack Eichel's not playing. But hey, you have Austin Matthews, so it's not too bad.
No, I mean, Austin Matthews brings more offensively, but I think two-way game, Eichel's better. Like, yeah. He is the best center for Team USA, but I digress. Hughes, that's another surprised broadcast. I mean, I think it's been an evolution for you, Isha, because I think a couple months ago, if it was Hughes 6x7.85, you probably would have, like, been a little pissed off. Because you basically said, like, if he makes eight, I'm not happy. And yeah. That's pretty damn close. He's just under. But, I mean, to your point, you look at some of the other contracts that are being given out.
That's the thing.
It's ridiculous. And the people that pushed back on you and said, oh, Pettersson's 3 years. If you ask our buddy, Derek Felska, so is the Kaprizov deal. So what the fuck's the difference?
Exactly.
Come on, guys. Come on. Pay attention. But, no, I think the comparison there with Dahlin is really interesting, too, because today, bar none, Hughes is a more impactful player. But I think by the time that contract is done for Rasmus Dahlin, come year four, I think he's the better defenseman between him and Hughes.
Honestly, Hoppy, I think he's the better defenseman right now. I really do. I think he's more complete. Now, we haven't seen it all on display because he's been in Buffalo.
I don't think you can fully blame that, though.
No, I'm not blaming. I'm just saying.
Development still.
Yeah, I think that he is right now the better two-way player, but Hughes maybe overall the more impactful player because of the style that he brings to, and he's not on a team where he has to play defense because there's nothing else there. He has to do everything. He's, you know, in Rasmus Dahlin's situation. Rasmus Dahlin can do everything, but it's just like the world is on his shoulders right now.
Yeah, and in fairness, it's a fit thing too for Hughes, right? Because the thing they need more than anything, when you look at the way their roster is constructed, they've got a couple powerful forward lines. You need someone that can move the puck up ice and get the puck to him and transition out of your own zone. Because if not, you're going to get dummied, right?
Yeah.
So it I guess there is a frame that, like, yes, Hughes is more impactful because of the style and the role. But I still think today, like, if you asked for this coming season, if you pulled the, besides those two teams, the 30 GMs and said, which one do you want on your team this year for free, no cap hit, they're taking Hughes.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's more my point.
My last thing, though, is Hughes, though, needs a defensive partner who is going to be disciplined and stay back and who can create space with him. Whereas Rasmus Dahlin, in my opinion, can play his game with regardless who the partner is.
Agreed.
Whether it's a guy who's on the third pairing, you know, primarily, or another, you know, superstar defenseman. Whereas Hughes, it doesn't need to be a superstar, but he needs a Chris Tanev. He needs a Hamonic. Now, Hamonic, not as good as actually Chris Tanev and him, just had great chemistry. Also not. Well, apparently he's going to come back right now. He's facing some personal and family issues, so he hasn't reported to camp yet. Okay. But for some reason, and I don't think Chris Tanev gets enough love, just even in the Western Conference, let alone the NHL, for just the great defensive game that he brings. And it I think it really showed in how much he complimented Hughes in that first season. Anyways, we'll get off this topic. I went over 2 minutes there, but hey, looped in Hoppy, so, you know, a little bit of a loophole there. We're going to talk about one thing that's very near and dear to the heart of State of Hoppy.
Near and dear, I think, is a stretch here, Isha. It's more just something that impacts my heart very greatly.
Oh, I've heard about it all since, like, probably 20 times now since we've, you know, met doing the soda pod. So, okay.
Well, it depends on which one, right? Like, the one started this conversation, I just mentioned right before this episode. But to me, it's just things that people say that are incorrect, and I have to decide whether it's worth correcting or not, right? Like, the one that brought this to my attention first is the influx of people that are talking about the new assistant captains for the Minnesota Wild. It's not assistant. It's alternate captain. I know that people translate it means the same thing. And guess what? Like, this is the bottom of my barometer, right? I'm never going to go in and correct someone and be like, oh, it's alternate. Come on. But it's just one of those things that it gets me a little bit, and I might silently judge you. But hey, you say things however you want. That is your God-given right. But then, Isha, as we move up the pyramid, this is the one that I've brought up many times because I will correct you. I will be an asshole, and you can be mad if you want, but you're literally taking the word re-sign and saying resign out of laziness or out of undereducation. I don't know which, but they literally mean the opposite thing. Very well illustrated by the meme that we released last spring for Kaprizov, saying I'm resigning with the Minnesota Wild.
Dude, that was, by the way, some of your best fucking work, dude. Unbelievable.
Again, if something plucks my strings hard enough, I have no choice. And then we have really, like, the top of the barometer for me, right? Like, these both fell within that 1 to 10 scale. And the one that goes above and beyond is what we're going to call the Elijah Freeman complex. Okay. We have Elliot Friedman, who, again, great coverage of the NHL, more plugged in than most. Like, I'll continue listening to now 32 Thoughts, the podcast, mostly because Jeff Merrick is just a gem. But you love look Jeff, here man. At this screen. WPG turned into win. Nope. CGY turned to Cal. Uh-uh. I actually put it backwards on this one, but CBJ turning into CLB. I can't do this. This one's okay, right? MTL turning into MON. It's not as upsetting, I guess, for some reason. But then you really get me with Arizona. Why are you taking the same three letters and keeping them, but then deciding to add a fourth? Because this is the one that you're going to make a four-letter abbreviation. Elliot Friedman, I'm just going to start calling you Elijah Freeman because that's just how you name teams. I'm going to go along your nomenclature, I guess. Do really respect him as a journalist for sure and a reporter, but this I can't get behind.
I love it. Do you know that the official abbreviation for Alberta is ATL?
No.
Yeah, makes no sense.
The official one?
Like in Canada. or it might even be ATLA. So I always am like, Atlanta? Anyways.
That doesn't even make sense, though.
I know.
You're literally switching letters around in like the order of the word.
Yeah.
L should come before.
It makes no sense. And it
also, like, see that? Where would I see that?
I think in Hockey DB. If you look at a player who's like born in Calgary, you'll see it's not AB, which, why the fuck is it not AB? It's like ATL or ATLA.
Now you're confusing me, because like every map I ever saw, like through school growing up, it was AB. They were all two letters.
In Canada, not the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're really throwing me for a loop here.
Hey, I'm educating the listeners, you included. Okay. Fun fact there. Fun facts here on the Soda Pod, episode 210. On the other side, full disclosure, we're recording on Saturday, not Sunday, so not as in-depth of Vikings talk as we usually get into, but we're going to touch on it a little bit despite that, because I'm now fully indulged in the NFL, Hoppy. I'm on Sundays, I'm watching football. It's not even Thursdays. I watch Thursday night football, for fuck's sakes. I'm in it. I'm pumped. I love my sports. And I don't know if I can go as far to say I love the Vikings yet, but hey, they're tugging on the heartstrings. So we'll get into that in our final segment of the Soda Pod, episode 210, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com Sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good. I'm glad you said it that way, because you all have to listen to me for a second here. Don't give a damn how bad this team actually is. 2-2, whatever, Northwestern. As we record here on Saturday night, I just saw the end of a shellacking 56-7 dished out by the Cornhuskers. In no way do I believe that means they're a good team. I don't care. I'm just reveling in the fact that I don't know if they're going to score that many points over the next couple of games, let alone in a single game at the rest of this season. So I'm just going to sit here and enjoy it. Thank you all very much for coming. Vikings, though, we kind of talked about it with the soda teaser, right, Isha, on Thursday. This is just going to be one where we're going to learn a lot about both these teams. It's a weird matchup in the sense that we've got two quarterbacks that I think both get more grief than they should. I'm not saying that they're like the same level of quarterback play. Kirk Cousins, as it sits right now, is absolutely the better quarterback. But I think him and Baker both get way more grief than they should. They're doing what they need to manage the game, fit in with the system, and adapt to what they have to based on poor offensive line play, right? But the one thing that is a consistent here for both of them, they don't like pressure. They don't like the D-line being in their face. And both these guys are going to be in one this weekend, because both have a great front four, great pass rush. It's just going to be fun to see how both of them handle that pressure. Again, it's going to be that chess match where they're very similar teams on both sides. like both are big on establishing the run. And I, as far as I know of late, we're still not going to have Dalvin Cook, but it's still a pretty well-oiled machine in the sense that you throw Madison in and it doesn't change a whole lot. Funny thing that was brought up on a podcast, Isha, how crazy it is that when you see a running back in particular be replaced with another running back who largely like looks the same, like has the same dreads coming out of the helmet, like you look and you just are like, oh yeah, he's going to go out and do the same thing as Dalvin Cook, because like he basically is, right? Like it's just like the funniest concept that like, oh my God, like he really does look like an emulate Dalvin Cook just because they got the same like big dreads popping out the back of the helmet. Like if you didn't see the jersey number, you'd be like, oh yeah, maybe that is him.
Yeah. By the way, Dalvin Cook, unbelievable talent. Such a joy to watch.
No, for sure. But guess what? You know who I enjoy watching more? And I'm sorry, Vikings fans, if like it's blasphemy to say that someone's better at running back than Dalvin Cook. I absolutely love Nick Chubb. I was so excited about him when he came into the league. Dude, this guy is an absolute monster. Like he is the reason that they will or won't win this game. Aside from defense getting in Kirk's face, right? He drives that offense. He carries everything for them. And I mean, there's a lot of contributors and it's a really well balanced offense at times, but it all runs off of him. If he goes out, the offense has to completely change. And kudos to the one that got away, Isha, the one that got away. We lost our offensive coordinator and he has really turned around this Browns franchise. And it's just a really interesting clashing at a really weird time where both teams feel okay about themselves. Both came into the year probably with pretty high expectations from their fan bases. I already said it. I had Cleveland picked to easily win their division. Like, if this isn't a close game and it gets tilted pretty heavily either way, I think we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams. And if they do both come in and play a really balanced, competitive game, like not out of incompetence where like neither can put anything together, but like good ebb and flow both ways, I think you can mark both of these teams as potentially being those sneaky ones to watch out for, right? Okay. No one's going to tab them as like a big front runner for Super Bowl contention, but the sneaky one that like no one wants to play in that first round of the playoffs.
It's like the Browns remind me so much of the Edmonton Oilers. Such a joke for so many years. Finally get some talent in the door and it's like, okay, we don't necessarily like to play you, but you're not like super threat, but you're not bottom of the barrel anymore.
Yeah, but the Browns also don't have Mike Smith as their goaltender.
Fucking old man Smith, man.
Your reaction is everything I wanted.
I give it to him. That guy has had a hit, like a hell of a career that will go down in the history books, because in 2011, I thought he was done and he fucking rise out of the ashes and becomes Team Canada's goalie in a fucking Olympics. So anyway,
Phoenix. All right. We can call him that. I can get on board with that. Nickname.
Right. Right.
The Phoenix.
With the Phoenix Coyotes at the time. Perfect. Whoa. How crazy is that?
I'm really embarrassed for myself that I didn't make that connection.
See, I thought that's why you made the connection,
no,
motherfucker.
No, you said he rose from the ashes.
In Phoenix. I know. Like a Phoenix.
Now you're connecting what a Phoenix actually is. You're like, oh, and like both of us just went,
Oh, man. Okay, last thing I want to say before we end off this show, and I'm not going to get into it too much because realistically it doesn't matter and it's not worth me getting all the backlash for. But as a Middle Eastern Canadian who was going through the comments today on Twitter about the Raiders' third jersey, I want to say this. There was like 650 quoted retweets saying how embarrassing this is for the WHL, how racist the Prince Albert Raiders of the WHL are bringing back their 90s jersey that is a spitting image of their mascot. As a Middle Eastern Canadian, to all 650 of you people retweeting about this, I'm the brown dude, you're the white people, and I'm not offended. And I guess I understand I don't speak for everyone, but the like 4 or 5 comment retweets, and I'm just laying out facts here. These are points. I saw these with my own eyes. You can go fact check them for yourself. The 4 or 5 retweets with comments that were in praise of these jerseys were all either Persians, Arabs, or those from Indian descent, i.e. Middle Eastern, you know, heritage or descent. And I guess I'm like the sixth because I also retweet and comment that, like, honestly, Jake Gyllenhaal playing the fucking Prince of Persia was way more offensive than this, unbelievably quirky jersey that they're going to wear three times in the season. So I get that we're in the age of 2021 and 100% this was kind of out of left field and that you can be critical of it. I have time for that argument, but don't pretend that you feel what someone like me feels like, because you don't know. And 650 white people saying how triggered they are for someone like me is bullshit. You don't empathize with me, you don't know me, and you don't know how we feel. So I'm just gonna leave it at that, because this is my favorite league of hockey, the WHL, and I think this is absolutely insane. Even people I respect and, you know, I've connected with in like national media up here in Canada jumped on this bullshit 2021, like, I have to give an opinion so that people know I'm a good person. Like, we know you're a good person. You don't have to fucking speak out about
this. No. If you have to speak out about it, you're probably not a good person.
And if
you're just looking for attention.
Well, that's the thing. If you do want to speak out about it, be critical. Don't just fucking try to seek attention and pretend you know how someone who, in this case, it is directly in my shoes, feels. So anyways, I just want to throw that out there. Because I'm clearly passionate about it, and I love the fucking WHL, and I want that jersey before the Prince Albert Raiders get canceled.
That's really please, what he cares about.
Please send me that jersey.
Anisha, I hate to well actually you here, because like I obviously don't know how you feel, but you're actually Middle Eastern Canadian American, so get it right.
Oh, even worse. Even worse. My mom's from Seattle. My dad escaped the 79 revolution, but I was born in Canada. I'm just completely off here. But anyways, I was going to share a picture of it. If you haven't seen it, folks, already, check out my Twitter account. I will definitely be on this the more and more the story progresses. But anyways, just had to get that out there, Hoppy. It's something that actually came out today, and I was just like, what the fuck?
No, for sure. I'm totally with you. I obviously not at all in your shoes and don't know how you feel, but I'm just with you in the sense that like the social justice warriors out there who are more worried about like standing up for the people who clearly aren't offended by this and think it's actually like a cool celebration of them, and just deciding, nope, we decided for you that you're not comfortable with us.
They're like, actually, it's a depiction of this, which is used in a racial. It's like, yeah, but I didn't think of that when I looked at it. I went, this is fucking cool, man. There's an Arab warrior. And again, I'm not Arab, I'm Persian, but still, there's a Middle Eastern warrior on that jersey. This is fucking awesome.
Right, it's sweet. And like, it's just so funny because I'm waiting for the time. Like, if this was on Facebook instead of Twitter, Isha, someone would comment.
Oh, it's coming.
Like,
it's coming.
Isha, that's so cute that you really think you know how you feel. Like, I know how you feel. You don't know how you feel.
Jesus Christ, man. This is, it's just, yeah. I'm smiling because I'm baffled, and it's just, what a world we live in, you know? You know, by the way, like, you know, all this shit's still going on, active investigation with the Blackhawks that, again, I keep tabs on every day, and people have to go nuts over a fucking, an Arab warrior on a fucking third jersey in the WHL. Like, Jesus Christ, like, start working out or something, you know? Seriously, get a punching bag and learn how to box. Like, get some of that anger out. Anyways, thank you for those tuning in on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the whole nine yards. The best thing you do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars and a kind review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it, as it just helps us rise the rankings on Chartable. If you're jonesing for more hockey content, go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. If you're a hoops fan, there's the Basketball Podcast Network. If you are an NFL fan and NCAA college football fan, check out the Pigskin Podcast Network. And on your app, please download any of the episodes that you hear from us on your app before you listen, as it just helps our business. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. Hoppy, where can they find you?
At the State of Hoppy. Most places.
And by the way, shout out Lupulin Brewing, who was sharing some of our video clips on Instagram. Love the good folks at Lupulin. That was a lot of fun. It was a few episodes back. Go check that out if you haven't already. Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.